The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. According to Pythagoras, anything that can happen to anyone anywhere in the world can also happen to you. I guess what the old gentleman was trying to tell us is there's no custom so strange, no usage so foreign, no fate so unusual that it cannot suddenly pierce the protective barrier of the familiar, behind which so many of us cower for safety.
Why did you kill Georgiana Slater?
I don't even know anyone named Georgiana Slater.
Are these your clothes?
Yes, but...
What were they doing in her house?
I don't know.
Is this your gun?
Yes.
It's the gun that killed her. Tell us the truth.
I didn't kill her. I didn't know her. I never even heard of her.
Our mystery drama, It Has to Be True, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars John Beale.
I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When I'm shopping, you know, if it's something that we eat and we like it, we buy it.
Mrs. Lana Locke depends on certain foods for her family.
My kids really like the Kraft macaroni and cheese. They really do. I know that it's going to get eaten, that they're going to be happy with what I'm going to give them because they like it. I think it's in the cheese flavor, too, in itself. It all gets eaten. It never goes to waste. It's easy to prepare, and it's good. I know that they're going to like it.
Kraft macaroni and cheese dinner. You know they're going to like it.
Oh, come on. Stain over paint?
Now you can stain over paint with Olympic Latex Stain.
Stain over paint? Why, that's impossible.
Olympic Latex Stain covers paint with rich, mellow color, cleans up in water, and lasts for years.
Great idea.
And right now, you'll save $2.50 a gallon on Olympic Latex Stain or $3 a gallon on Olympic Overcoat House Paint.
I'm sold.
$2.50 off Latex Stain and $3 off Olympic Overcoat. But hurry. Sale ends July 14th at participating Olympic dealers.
All right, it's question and answer time. I know the questions, you know the answers, or do you? First question, who is the detective hero created by a famous female British mystery writer?
I don't know.
Right. Second question, which author was the creator of Sam Spade and a close friend of Lillian Hellman?
Martin Mayonnaise.
Correct for a thousand bobolinks. Third question, what is the name of the greatest killer of all time?
Oh, Al Capone.
Bugsy Malone.
Bonnie and Clyde. Bullets.
Correct for a thousand bobolinks.
The greatest killer of all time is heart and blood vessel disease. It's no joke. More people die of heart and blood vessel disease each year than of all other causes of death combined. We'd like to change that. We're the American Heart Association. Call us to find out where free blood pressure screenings are being held. Remember, we're fighting for your life.
Just suppose, says the philosopher, that this were the last day of the world. Well, of course, no one is really prepared for such a question, much less such an eventuality. And yet, it's possible for the world to come to an end. Suddenly, silently, a candle blown out by the wind. It happens just that way for so many people. At one moment, they glory at the light, and at the next, they grovel in the dark.
Why'd you stop me, officer?
Step out of your car, please.
I wasn't speeding, I'm sure.
Come out very slowly and keep your hands where I can see them.
What's this supposed to be?
Turn around. Lean forward.
You mind telling me...
Place your hands against the hood of the car.
Now, hold it, officer. You don't have to search me like this. I'm not some criminal. I'm James Arthur Correll, assistant sales manager of Arcturus Electronics.
We have instructions to pick up a James Arthur Correll who answers your description. and is driving a gray four-door Aurora sedan.
Pick up? What do you mean, pick up?
You'll have to come with us, Mr. Correll.
But I have to be in Chicago this evening.
I'm sorry, sir.
Officer, I have no intention of resisting arrest, but this is a mistake.
If it's a mistake, it'll be straightened out.
Mr. Correll, I'm Inspector Luther, homicide.
Homicide? What does that have to do with me?
The arresting officer has already informed you of your rights.
What am I being accused of?
Did you know a Mrs. Georgiana Slater?
No.
She resided here in Benton City, 87 Rutherford Place.
I don't know anybody at all in Benton City.
No?
I never even stopped here before.
You didn't?
Well, it's just a place I drive through en route to Chicago. Actually, I don't even drive through it. I bypass it on the highway.
And Mrs. Georgiana Slater was murdered this afternoon.
Well, what does that have to do with me?
At this point, you're a material witness.
Material witness? Inspector Luther, is that your name? I didn't witness anything. And I'm certainly not aware of any material that could be of any use at all.
You deny you knew Mrs. Slater?
Of course I deny it.
You never called at her home on 87 Rutherford?
I don't even know where that is.
You never parked your car in front of 87 Rutherford?
Of course not.
You never spent the night there?
Never.
You didn't have a relationship with Georgiana Slater?
I told you, I never even knew such a person.
Excuse me. Eddie, bring in the carton, please.
Inspector, would you mind telling me what's going on?
Not of course. Oh, thanks, Eddie. Now, put the carton down on the table. Now, Mr. Correll, in this box are some items of wearing apparel.
Those are my...
This cardigan sweater. Can you identify it?
It's mine.
And these blue pajamas, this maroon robe.
Look, all those things, they're mine. Where'd you get them?
In Georgiana Slater's bedroom.
Oh, no. No, there's no way they could have gotten there.
No way, Mr. Correll?
No. This thing, it's crazy. Inspector Luther, listen to me, please. I was driving north on the highway. For no reason, two officers in a police car stopped me, and they bring me here. I'm informed that I'm a material witness in a murder. Now, have I lost my mind? What's happening to me?
All right, relax, Mr. Correll. Everything will be all right.
I'm being made the victim of some frame-up. Isn't there anything I can say that will make you understand?
Yeah, there is. Eddie, you want to come in here with your stenotype machine? Mr. Correll is ready to make a statement.
What kind of statement?
A confession.
What am I supposed to confess to?
The murder of Georgiana Slater. Now, believe me, you'll feel better.
I have absolutely nothing to confess.
All right. But we have absolutely everything we need. You've got your car parked at the house, your clothes in the closet, the letter from Mary Cordelieu.
Who's Mary, whatever her name is, and what letter?
Mary Cordelieu is the agony columnist, you know, the advice of the lovelorn editor, on the Benton City Daily Mail. Georgiana had written to her asking how she could get this married guy she was going with to leave his wife. And she got a letter back saying to give him the gate. So we've got some padding on the motive. She was ready to kiss you off.
Well, that letter doesn't have to refer to me.
Well, it describes you pretty well, and we've got the gun.
What gun?
Your gun. A .38 caliber Darnley Stewart revolver, serial number QH2354. Registered in the name of James Arthur Correll.
Well, yes, that's my gun, but it's been lost.
It's been my experience, Mr. Correll, that lost guns always turn up in inconvenient places.
Where was it found?
Next to the body of Georgiana Slater.
No, how could I have killed her? What are you doing to me? I'm innocent.
And you're also very tired and upset. You need a good night's rest. Eddie, we're holding Mr. Correll.
You mean I'm going to have to stay here?
Overnight.
Well, I'm entitled to a hearing before a judge.
You're getting one tomorrow morning.
I want to call my lawyer.
Absolutely, he should be here.
Well, I don't understand. What's happening to me?
James? James?
Wake up, darling. I'm here, darling. I'm here.
Oh, Della, did I have a dream? A nightmare. I dreamed I was in... I was in...
James?
Della, it wasn't a dream. I'm in jail.
We couldn't get a plane till 6 in the morning.
We?
Walter Sturgis and I.
Oh, Walter?
Well, I know you're not overly fond of Walter, but I can't imagine why. He thinks you're the salt of the earth.
But I told you to call old man Paulson. He'd have the corporation attorneys defend me.
Darling, you see, Mr. Paulson said that while he would certainly support you all the way down the line, it would have to be... How did he put it?
What are you saying, Della?
Off the record. It would not be prudent to emphasize your connection with the Arcturus Company.
Oh, I see where this is going. I gave Arcturus 15 years of my life. I opened up the entire Middle West. And now that I'm in trouble...
Dearest, Sellers and McIntyre are basically corporation lawyers. They don't have any criminal practice. And Walter is a top trial lawyer. He's already taken over. He's in with the district attorney right now. We'll have you out of here in no time. James?
Yeah?
I could hardly understand what you were saying on the phone last night. You're actually being held on a charge of murder?
Yes.
I don't believe it. You couldn't kill anybody. Whose murder?
A woman named Georgiana Slater.
Did you know this woman?
Of course not.
Then why do they say you killed her?
They claim I was having an affair with her.
A what?
I know, it's ridiculous. You know I'd never have an affair with another woman. You know that, don't you?
Yes, of course I know that. But why did they arrest you?
Well, they claim I was seen in the house and that my car was parked outside it.
But that could have been mistaken identity, a coincidence. Well, surely they can't arrest a person for that.
Well, there were some other things.
What other things?
They found some of my clothes in the closet and my revolver. It was the weapon that killed her. They found it near the body.
Oh.
Della, I don't know how they got there.
James. James, have you been... I don't know what to say.
Della, please. I know it looks bad.
Well, maybe it's all my fault.
What was your fault?
I've been a little difficult to live with these past few years. I resented all the time you had to give to your job. Thought you were working too hard and neglecting me.
Della.
It hasn't been easy for you at Arcturus. Paulson is unreasonably demanding. I should have understood that.
Della, what are you saying?
Well, maybe without meaning to. Without even knowing it, you drifted into this situation. You needed a place where you could just escape from pressure. Oh, darling, I'm so sorry.
Della, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't care what the evidence implies. I didn't kill this woman.
I believe you.
I didn't have an affair with her. I didn't even know her.
Darling, don't say any more. I'm your wife. I love you. I'll stand at your side.
Thank you, officer. I'll call you when I want you.
Walter, get me out of here.
I can't get bail.
But you said you'd try to work something out with the DA.
The DA claims you'd jump bail and leave the country.
Well, couldn't you convince him that I wouldn't?
No, his point is that you were a fugitive. You are running away. If after the murder you'd have given yourself up, well, that would prove that there'd be no risk in letting you out.
Now, wait a minute. If after the murder I'd given myself up, who says I committed the murder?
Oh, James.
Do you believe I'm guilty?
They have the gun and the ammunition.
Well, I'm telling you I'm innocent.
But they have your clothes in her house, your gun on the floor by her dead body now. How do you account for it?
I can't.
Now, there are certain cases you can't win unless your client adopts a mature attitude.
Well, which means what?
Which means you must realize that there's give and take.
What do I have to give?
You must admit that you were having an affair with her.
But I wasn't.
You've already been found guilty of that.
In what court?
In the most important court in the land. The court of public opinion. Now deny the affair and the jury absolutely will refuse to credit anything you have to say. You admit it, at least I'll listen to you.
But it isn't true.
I spoke to Della. She forgives you.
But there's nothing to forgive.
James, you only have one way out. You are madly in love... No. Hopelessly infatuated with Georgiana Slater.
Is everybody crazy?
She was a beautiful woman, and you fell for her the way only a middle-aged man can.
Walter, are you for me or against me?
One day she became tired of you, and you lost your head. In a terrible fit of insane jealousy, you shot her.
No, I did not. Why can't you believe me? I'm innocent.
Are you? Really?
Yes.
How do you know?
How do I know? I know what I did and what I didn't do.
Could you have killed Georgiana Slater and not been aware of it? Could you have been carrying on an affair with her and not been aware of it?
How could I have been unaware of it?
How would you like to find out?
We should all like to find out. Here we have a man driving along, minding his own business, when suddenly he's taken to jail and accused of murder. And they have a whole battery of live evidence against him, too. What's going for him? His own conviction that he's innocent. How's he doing so far? Not so good. We'll see how it goes in Act Two.
I'm Susan Anton, and there is a better way to sleep. The perfect sleeper.
It's a good feeling to sleep the night away on a perfect sleeper. Bassett, be a perfect sleeper. Buy a perfect sleeper, perfect sleeper. Bassett.
Firmness that feels good. Every perfect sleeper has it. From the Signature One to the fabulous Avanti with Pillow Soft Top. Choose from a full range of comfort and firmness combinations. And enjoy firm, deep support for your back and luxurious comfort on top for you.
Be a perfect sleeper. Buy a perfect sleeper. Perfect sleeper. By Serta. Be a perfect sleeper. Buy a perfect sleeper. Perfect sleeper. By Serta.
Duquesne Light will keep its consumer telephone service center open for business this Saturday during the hours of 8:30 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. The telephone service center has been extremely busy during the past week, and some Duquesne Light customers may have been inconvenienced as a result. So this Saturday, the Duquesne Light telephone service center will be open for calls between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Customers with questions about their bills or who want to notify Duquesne Light that they are moving may phone the center on the special customer service number, 456-4000. That's 456-4000. If you live outside the immediate Pittsburgh area, check your phone directory for a toll-free number in your area. And if you call, Duquesne Light requests that you have your account number handy. Remember, these special hours apply only to this Saturday.
Do not, says the philosopher, judge by appearances. Very good advice, but seldom followed. The unfortunate fact is we do judge books by covers, birds by feathers, and women by beauty. But is everyone with liquor on his breath a drunk? Is everyone caught with his hand in the till a thief? You see, all this has to do with circumstantial evidence, which is why so many lawyers get rich.
You're saying I could have had an affair with a woman and be unaware of it?
Exactly.
And I could have murdered her? And not be aware of that?
Precisely.
How's that possible, Walter?
You can ask someone who knows.
Doctor, I don't know what my attorney, Mr. Sturgis, has told you, but I want the record straight.
By all means.
I'm in the middle of something.
What?
Well, something I can't explain. Ordinarily, I'd say it's a dream, a nightmare, except if it were, I should have awakened long ago.
Try to describe it.
Well, on my way to Chicago, I'm suddenly arrested for the murder of a woman I don't know, named Georgiana Slater, who lives in a city I've never been in. And I'm confronted with a mass of circumstantial evidence. And next week, I'm actually going to trial.
You don't know how this evidence could have gotten into Mrs. Slater's home.
Well, now the gun, for instance. I had actually lost it some weeks before. I didn't even know where it was.
Have you had any serious problems lately?
Oh, I never have problems. Just go out and sell, that's my motto.
You're under no strain, no pressures?
Oh, there's always some strain and pressure.
Why?
What's the nature of the business? You have to be thinking and planning and pitching every day.
Any strains between you and your wife?
Yeah, absolutely none.
Absolutely?
Well, there's always this and that in married life.
Any serious arguments?
Well, it depends on what you call serious.
What do you consider serious?
Well, there was an awful lot of flack about the amount of time I give to the job.
And so things are not exactly cheery at home, huh? Would that be a fair one-word description?
I suppose it might be.
And at the office, did things run smoothly?
Do things really run smoothly anywhere?
Some places they do. What was your problem at the office?
Well, who said I had a problem?
Your wife was unhappy because of the long hours. Is that true?
Well, yes. Well, there was a certain amount of friction.
So the core of the problem is at the office. You put in long hours. Why?
Well, I told you, it's a rough, competitive business. There's no clock. I guess Delicate never really understand that.
Do you feel that the time you're putting in, the energy that you're expending, the work that you're doing, is appreciated?
Never, not in a million years.
So you feel you're not getting the recognition and the compensation you deserve?
Well, Doctor, nobody ever gets the recognition and the compensation he deserves.
Oh, some people do.
I certainly was being cheated out of mine.
Cheated? That's a strong word.
Well, it's the exact word to describe it. What I did, the way I was putting out, that was just taken for granted.
And the result is that you're frustrated on the job and unhappy at home. As you just said, your boss is cheating you. And since you don't have the resources to quit, you have to cheat somebody too. Who? Your wife?
No, that's crazy. I'm not that kind of a man.
That's right, you're not. It goes against your moral fiber. Therefore, it's an act that you've got to perform without knowing it. To that end, you deliberately develop a form of amnesia, and you lead a double life.
A double life?
Yes, consciously, you're completely unaware of it. You find a woman far away from home with whom you can have a very discreet relationship.
No, I can't believe it. It can't be.
Your clothes in the closet, are they real? And the gun, account for that.
I can't, Doctor.
The gun is the key. You were living in two worlds. The first, the primary, was the world of your job, of your wife, your children, your home, the world you would call reality. But there was another world, an unconscious world, the world of Georgiana Slater, the world you tried to keep secret, even from yourself.
You can never make me believe that.
The gun is the bridge between the two worlds. The gun exists in both worlds. It's common to both worlds. When you feel you must end the relationship with Georgiana Slater, when you feel you must kill her.
Oh, Doctor.
The gun is the instrument. But it's at home, in the other world, the conscious world. You need it. Therefore, the conscious James Arthur Correll hides the gun and claims it's lost. Well, the unconscious James Arthur Carell knows where to find it. And thus, uses it.
All right, but just tell me, if I did know her, and if I was having an affair with her, if I did kill her, why did I leave my clothes and my gun by the body? If I knew she had written a letter to that columnist, why did I leave the implicating answer lying around?
Why?
Yes, why?
Because you wanted to be found out, caught, and punished.
Doctor, this story you've just told me, do you actually believe it?
I believe it could be true in your case.
Why?
Because I've come across it before.
You mean people can be unfaithful to their wives, lead a double life, even commit murder, and be unaware of it?
Certain people, yes.
And that's what's happened to me?
James, are you all right?
Della, Walter, I don't know what to say.
The trial is coming up.
I realize, Walter. Della, there's something I have to tell you. I didn't want to plead guilty because that would be admitting to the world that I'd had an affair with another woman.
That's between you and me, James. It's no one's business but ours.
Well, how could I tell you a thing like that, Della? You'd never forgive me.
James, if it were the other way around, would you forgive me?
Yes.
Why?
Because I love you.
And I love you, James. And we can work it out.
Are you ready to believe you knew her and killed her?
I don't know. It's just that everything points to it. Everybody insists on it. How long can I fight it? I guess it just has to be true.
Well, Mrs. Luther, enjoying dinner?
No, I was, John. I think I'm starting to unenjoy it.
Yep.
In less than 30 seconds, you'll be going to work.
No. I didn't let anyone know where I was. No one from headquarters can get in touch with me for the next 3 hours, no matter what.
In 15 seconds, you'll be back on the job. You're on it right now. You never stop being a cop. Your motor's always running.
Gee, I'm sorry.
Darling, you can't help it. 5 minutes ago, something in this restaurant caught your attention. It's been buzzing around down in your unconscious mind.
You're right. Helen, I know now what caught my attention.
Should I take a cab and go home?
I finally placed those two people.
That couple at the table near the wall.
Yeah. I know who they are.
You should have asked me. I know who she is. Her picture was in the paper. She's the wife of that fellow who's being tried for the murder of that woman. Oh, what was her name?
Georgiana Slater.
Yes. You worked on that case, didn't you, John?
Yeah. Fellow with her is Walter Sturgis, her husband's lawyer.
Oh, why should all this bother you?
Those two people, do they look friendly?
Well, they look like they're friends.
Is it possible that they could be more than friends?
Yes, it's possible.
Now, wait a minute, watch what he does. And notice, he reaches over and holds her hand.
She takes her hand away quickly.
And shakes her head. He smiles. It's happened a few times.
She seems to be giving him that kind of look that says, not in public.
And she's right.
But he obviously cannot keep his hands off her.
She's quite a dish.
Why does it intrigue your cop-like instincts?
You have a man being tried for the murder of his alleged mistress. Meanwhile, his wife evidently has a thing going with his attorney. Something bothers me.
What?
I don't know.
Well, should we have dessert?
All the evidence is in. But suppose, just for the sake of argument, suppose that James Arthur Carell is innocent.
Where does that leave us?
I don't know.
We must ask, is it true that James Arthur Correll killed Georgiana Slater?
It has to be true.
Why?
Well, you know that better than I would. Aren't you the cop that gathered up all the evidence?
Well, look, I'll take you home. There's something I want to do right away. Remember me, Mr. Correll?
Yes. You're the police inspector. What do you want? I mean, it's the middle of the night.
I want to ask you some questions.
Why?
Just answer them.
Well, what's the difference? I spoke to my lawyer about my plea.
Walter Sturgis?
Yes, that's his name.
How come you picked him to be your lawyer?
Look, what is this all about?
Now, just answer.
I don't have to answer anything.
Why don't you try?
What for?
Maybe you were right all along.
The last time I saw you, you were trying to get me to sign a confession, remember?
That's right. I was.
And I kept refusing, because I was positive I was innocent, remember?
Yes, I remember that.
Well, I was wrong.
About what?
About my innocence.
Well, what happened? Do you now admit that you're guilty? Look, this conversation is off the record.
Yes, I believe I'm guilty.
You were so sure you were innocent, you almost had me convinced. When I first questioned you, were you putting on an act?
No, I believed beyond a doubt that I was innocent. And now, I believe I'm guilty.
Why?
Because it has to be true.
Why does it have to be true?
Because it's the only thing that makes sense.
You see, even the hardest rock is slowly eroded by the constant rains. And even the strongest conviction may be undermined, confused, and overcome by the unrelenting pressure of circumstance. There comes a time when further resistance is impossible, and a man can be forced to say that black is white, day is night, and wrong is right. I shall return with Act Three shortly.
At the store, they told me there's a powerful anti-itch drug I can buy without a doctor's prescription. Now I use Bicozine cream as directed. No more burning, embarrassing itching. No more scratching. Bicozine actually speeds healing. Bicozine cream. What a relief.
Time to change your laxative. X-Lax pills gently stimulate your system's own natural rhythm, and that makes all the difference. X-Lax pills, for occasional use only as directed.
CBS TV celebrates the people of America.
There may be some hard times, but it only makes us stronger. We're generations with a dream to share. There's so much excitement because we're always moving. Look around, you'll see it everywhere. Looking good, America. Oh, you're looking good.
In the 1840s, John Hunt invented the safety pin we use today. The concept had been around since 2000 BC, but the pointed end of the safety pin was never fully covered, nor was there tension to hold it in place. Hunt simply twisted wire, forming a spring to provide the needed tension. You might say that Mr. Hunt added a new twist to an old idea. Many individuals, like you, have good ideas. Discuss your ideas with IMI and let IMI help you try to market them. Invention Marketing Incorporated, a national company providing marketing services to individuals. Call IMI anytime at 288-1300. That number again, 288-1300. Call for a free brochure from Invention Marketing Incorporated. They're in the phone book, or phone now for immediate attention at 288-1300. That's 288-1300. Invention Marketing Incorporated. 288-1300.
You may find this hard to believe today, but about 5 centuries ago, a man got himself into hot water by insisting that the Earth revolved around the sun instead of the other way around, which was the accepted wisdom of the time. Well, if they could force Galileo to recant publicly what he knew to be true, what can we expect from James Arthur Correll, an ordinary, average, everyday, middle-class citizen? Wait.
You're telling me now that you're guilty, Mr. Correll?
Well, isn't that what you kept telling me? I'm doing exactly what you said, Inspector. Don't fight it, you said. Well, I'm not fighting it. You and the psychiatrist said I could be guilty without knowing it. All right, I accept it. What more do you want?
Do you accept it because your lawyer told you to, or do you really believe it?
Look, I'm tired. It's late.
Why did you engage Walter Sturgis to defend you?
Why? He's a top criminal lawyer.
Any other reason?
Oh, he's Della's friend.
Oh?
And he's my friend, too. He was married to a girl Della went to school with. Later, they got divorced, but he stayed friendly with us.
Why did they get divorced?
Well, why is that important?
Is it possible that this school friend of Della's became jealous of Della?
Why should she be jealous of Della?
Well, she may have thought Della was having an affair with Walter.
Well, that isn't true. I mean, it isn't true that they were having an affair.
All right, let us suppose, for the sake of argument, that you were telling the truth when you explained you were innocent. We now have some problems. How do we get the clothes into the house, the car parked outside, and, of course, the gun? The gun.
Inspector, I'm convinced that there is no way they could have gotten there unless I'm guilty.
But if you're not, somebody else is.
I haven't stopped thinking about it, and I'm convinced that it's me.
It is, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't do anything. Maybe you just drove from your house to Chicago and never stopped in Benton City at all.
It's an 8-hour drive. I could get an early flight the next morning and be there in 58 minutes. Why drive?
All right, why did you?
Well, the conscious part of my mind says I hated airplanes. But is that the reason? Did I drive so that I could stop here and be with Georgiana Slater? I don't know anymore. I just don't know.
Well, how'd it go last night, Inspector Luther?
Crazy. 2 weeks ago, I'm hammering away at him to confess he's guilty, and he insists he's innocent. Now, suddenly, I'm beating at him to believe he may be innocent, and he insists he's guilty. What if somebody was out to get him?
His wife? And his lawyer?
I would consider them prime suspects. Let's say they arranged an elaborate frame-up. They pick a city on the way to Chicago. They find some woman who lives alone, who likes to have fun. Has that reputation?
Yes.
From time to time, they park a gray sedan outside the house to attract attention. Could even have been Correll's when he wasn't using it. Now, the murder. They time it to take place on a day they know he's headed for Chicago. They kill her. Leave the gun and the clothes there, and then...
Yes?
I remember exactly how it broke. A call came in saying that there was a noise. Sounded like a shot from 87 Rutherford Place. Anonymous call.
They could have placed it.
Then there was another anonymous call to the effect that there was a gray Aurora sedan parked in front of 87 Rutherford. The license number, and a man was seen getting into it right after the shot was fired. The description turned out to be Correll's.
John, are you actually saying the wife and the lawyer are guilty?
When they brought Correll in, I never saw a guy who seemed so genuinely surprised. Suspects are constantly insisting they're innocent, but Correll actually had me going for a minute.
Well, what can you do about it?
I don't know. I can't prove his wife and Walter Sturgis killed Georgiana Slater. I can't prove they planted the gun and the clothes. I can't... Wait a minute.
What is it?
The letter.
What letter?
That was supposed to have been the final touch. It appeared she'd written a letter to Mary Cordelieu asking for advice because she got a letter back which said, and I remember, "You have to give that Lothario the shock of his life. It's either or, and if he refuses, show him the door. You're just serving as an oasis between Turnersville and Chicago."
Turnersville is where Correll comes from?
Yeah. With this letter, the prosecution could prove she was ready to throw him out. Adds to his motive.
John, are we sure Georgiana Slater wrote for advice? All we have is the answer.
It's a signed letter from Mary Cordelieu.
Well, could it be a forgery?
No. Because if it turns out to be a forgery, then...
Yes?
Look, if it turns out that Georgiana Slater did not write to Mary Cordelieu, then whether the answer is forged or not, it proves that it was deliberately planted. And every other piece of evidence also has to be suspect.
But how can you prove it?
I need a lucky break. And so does James Arthur Correll. I was told this was Mary Cordelieu's office.
Who are you?
Inspector Luther, homicide.
Oh. Well, what'd you want to see Mary about?
Yeah, I'd rather discuss that with Mary.
It's important.
What's your name?
Bob Burley.
You know where I can find Mary Cordelieu? Is this her office?
Inspector, can I trust you not to blow the whistle? I'm Mary Cordelieu.
What?
Yeah. Mary wrote the column for years, but about a year ago she got sick and had to leave. Well, yeah, the name belongs to the paper, so I asked the publisher if I could take over.
All right, Mr. Burley, I need your help. I want to ask you about a letter you wrote to a Mrs. Georgiana Slater.
Yeah, go right ahead.
You remember writing a letter to a Mrs. Georgiana Slater?
Yes, Slater, why is that name so familiar?
She was murdered.
Oh.
Do you, recognize this letter?
Sure.
You wrote it?
Yeah, I wrote it.
There's no chance it could be a forgery.
Nope. Well, why should it be a phony?
It was in response to a question, then.
Yeah, all of them are.
You remember getting a letter asking advice from Georgiana Slater?
You'd be surprised, but I remember everything. I'll prove it to you. I even have that letter she wrote to me.
What? Do you save them?
Oh, yeah, sure. Part of my permanent files. See, I put it in the A file under Affairs with Married Men. I'd like to show you how it's all cross-indexed. Oh, yeah, here we are. The letter from Georgiana Slater.
May I see it, please? Mm-hmm. Dear Mary Cordelieu, I am madly in love with a married man from Turnersville. He drives to Chicago once or twice, sometimes three times a week, and stops here in Benton City to spend the night with me. He keeps promising to divorce his wife, but I'm afraid he'll never get around to it. Please tell me what to do. Georgiana Slater. How do we know that Georgiana Slater wrote this request?
Oh, well, she signed her name to it.
How do we know this is her signature?
Well, why would anybody else write me such a letter?
See, the letter happens to be typewritten. Isn't that strange?
Well, yeah, in a way. You know, many of them aren't. I think people feel that such personal things should be in their own handwriting.
Could you let me have a copy of this letter? Eddie, I have a letter here. I want you to do a couple of things. First, go to the bank Georgiana Slater used and see if it's her signature on it. Second, check through the list of effects in her apartment and see if she owned a typewriter.
Have you seen James?
Oh, yes. I visit him every morning.
And how is he?
Reconciled.
He believes it.
The way it sets up against him, it's hard not to believe it.
Oh, Della, darling.
Walter, not now. I have so many things to do. And you must be busy, too.
The trial starts tomorrow.
You know, Della, sometimes I wonder if you really love me.
Oh, darling, how can you even doubt it? It's just that I'm so nervous.
There is no reason to be nervous.
Well, I have to appear in court as his loving, supportive wife. And I can't do it if I... You understand?
Yes, yes, of course, of course.
There'll be so much more time later, darling. He'll be in jail. I can get a divorce quietly. Who would that be?
Doesn't matter.
But should I be here in your suite?
Why not? I'm your husband's lawyer. Gentlemen?
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes?
I'm Inspector John Luther. This Detective Edward Smith. Can we come in?
Oh, yes, of course. This is Mrs. James Correll. Della, these gentlemen are police officers.
Oh?
Yes. What can I do for you, Inspector?
I have a copy of a letter. Is it familiar?
Well, why would it be familiar?
Would you like to look at it?
Walter.
Now, Della, this is evidently a trick of some kind. Now, Inspector, I demand to know what you're doing.
I just want to know if this letter is familiar to you.
It purports to be a request for advice written by a Georgiana Slater to a Mary Cordelieu, who's evidently an advice columnist. Well, why shouldn't it be familiar to me?
The answer from Miss Cordelieu to Mrs. Slater would be a nice touch, a finishing touch for the prosecution. But you forgot the letter that Mrs. Slater would have to write to elicit such an answer.
What is he saying? Walter.
Officer, now, if you're making a charge or an accusation...
If the letter of inquiry is phony, then everything else becomes phony. Georgiana Slater didn't write such a letter.
But you still haven't said how this involves me or Mrs. Correll.
You forged Georgiana Slater's name to a phony letter to Mary Cordelieu.
Inspector, if this is an accusation...
No, at this point it's just a suggestion.
Walter...
Della, say nothing.
You thought there could never be anything to tie you to this request. After all, the columnist probably throws the letters away, and besides, who would ever think to probe?
Walter, what is he saying?
Nothing that he can prove in court.
The bank says the signature is not familiar. Mistake number one on your part. Then we know that Mrs. Slater did not own a typewriter. Mistake number two.
Well, Georgiana Slater could have found a typewriter somewhere.
The letter was typed on a machine in your home, Mrs. Correll. We checked it.
Walter, you thought you were so smart.
Tell her.
It was your idea. You scared me into it. But you killed her. Inspector, I don't know why I listened to him. Because James was away so much.
Della, they have no proof.
They found out about the letter. They can find out about anything now. Anything. But it was your idea. His idea, Inspector. I don't know what got into me. I must have been out of my mind. I was upset. Confused.
Mrs. Correll, do you mind talking a bit more slowly so that Detective Smith can take it all down?
She did, and he got the whole story. The entire tawdry tale of two-timing, deception, all the little falsehoods, schemes, and intrigues. It unraveled quickly because it was so complicated, and it was complicated because Walter was so very smart. A pity. If he'd made it simpler, it might have worked. But then we wouldn't have had a story. I shall return shortly.
It's JCPenney's bra and girdle sale. With every bra and girdle in the store now at a fantastic 30% off. Every style, every color, every shape, every bra you could want. All at an unbelievable 30% off. But hurry, it's only for a limited time. And it's only at JCPenney.
This is JCPenney. Reynolds Wrap. It's the wrap to make summer more fun. Reynolds Wrap.
For barbecues, I use strong, heavy-duty Reynolds Wrap. I line the grill with it. Seems to make charcoal heat spread evenly. And it beats all for cooking potatoes and corn and for juicy grilled chicken. When you wrap in Reynolds Wrap, you zip through barbecue cooking. Easy.
Reynolds Wrap.
I'll do it. A ticket to London.
A new stereo? I'll take it.
Master Charge, for all the things life demands of you.
And for all the wonderful things I demand of life. Like a little something in gold. When I need it.
A new barbecue.
Food processor.
Lawnmower.
Tennis racket.
Golf clubs. Vacation.
Don't forget my anniversary gift.
What would we do without Klaus?
Nothing opens doors. Nothing takes you shopping, takes you places, takes you away like your MasterCharge card. It carries Klaus.
When you carry MasterCharge, you carry Klaus.
Get more out of life. Marvelously complex and unfathomable is the human psyche, that mysterious, unknowable combination of heart, brain, and soul. How quickly we can be led to conclusions. How completely our own convictions may break down when confronted with what appears to be an overwhelming flood of so-called evidence. Sometimes we simply surrender in the face of the statement, "It has to be true." It takes courage to stand up and ask, why? Why does it have to be true? Our cast included John Beale, Robert Dryden, Joan Shea, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Duquesne Life will keep its consumer telephone service center open for business this Saturday during the hours of 8:30 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. The telephone service center has been extremely busy during the past week, and some Duquesne Life customers may have been inconvenienced as a result. So this Saturday, the Duquesne Life telephone service center will be open for calls between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Customers with questions about their bills or who want to notify Duquesne Light that they are moving may phone the center on the special customer service number, 456-4000. That's 456-4000. If you live outside the immediate Pittsburgh area, check your phone directory for a toll-free number in your area. And if you call, Duquesne Light requests that you have your account number handy. Remember, these special hours apply only to this Saturday.
KQV Pittsburgh weather mostly cloudy through Saturday night with occasional thunderstorms, locally heavy low tonight in the low 60s, high tomorrow near 75 degrees. Cloudy skies at the airport at this hour, temperature there 66 degrees, relative humidity 90%, wind out of the south at 12 miles per hour. It's 68 degrees at this hour in downtown Pittsburgh. KQV News time 11 o'clock, now more up-to-the-minute news from CBS.
CBS News. President Carter is inside the official residence of South Korea's President Park Chung-hee, the Blue House, for official talks which include U.S. troop withdrawals and human rights issues. This is John Bohannon reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Park's official residence is called the Blue House because of its distinctively colored tile roof, and that's where Mr. Carter is now. Earlier, South Koreans officially welcomed Mr. Carter to Seoul, and Bernard Kalb was there.
Back down to the background, tens of thousands of South Koreans waving American flags and South Korean flags as the presidential cavalcade moves through. President Carter standing in an open limousine with Mrs. Carter and daughter Amy and the president of South Korea, Park Chung-hee, all waving at the Koreans, who themselves waving American flags and South Korean flags. The president waving first his right hand, then his left hand, looking from side to side, saying hello, a kind of moving hello to the South Koreans who have gathered here to welcome the president. The weather, gray, overcast, the morning rain has now stopped. The initial arrival ceremonies having taken place just a few moments ago. The president now en route to the Blue House, the White House for the first round of summit talks with South Korea's President Park Chung-hee. With Art Gal, for CBS News, Seoul.
More CBS News in a moment.
You really want to leave your hair long in front, Mrs. Taylor?
Uh-huh. I wanted to cover that brown patch on my forehead.
Mm.
I didn't have it until after the baby was born.
Lots of new mothers tell me that.
Really?
Yeah. Listen, why don't you try Porcelana?
Try what?
Porcelana. It's a medicated fade cream, and it really works.
Mm.
Porcelana works on age spots, brown spots, and freckled spots. Just rub it in and watch those spots start to fade. Porcelana medicated fade cream actually works to lighten brown patches and spots that come not only with age, but during childbearing years, too. Porcelana is available at cosmetic counters everywhere.
Could be. It's just what I need, Jane.
Porcelana will help bring back your natural skin tone in as little time as 6 weeks. I've seen it happen.
Porcelana. Just rub it in. Watch spots start to fade. Porcelana medicated cream. Use only as directed.
A TV station in Caracas, Venezuela, reports tonight that American businessman William Niehaus has been found in a town about 350 miles from the capital. Niehaus was kidnapped 3 years ago. For the first day in 2 weeks, Nicaraguan National Guard troops are not fighting with Sandinista guerrillas in the slum areas of Managua. The guerrillas moved out yesterday. Today, some people began climbing over barricades to get back into their homes. Some independent truckers claiming to represent drivers from nearly a dozen states met tonight in Kansas City, Kansas, and voted to continue their strike. Other drivers reportedly are going back to the roads. In Washington, the government has worked out a 6-point program with a number of truckers to end the strike. Some have accepted it. Others have turned down. Presidential aide Jack Watson says it's difficult to reach a single negotiated agreement because no one group represents all of America's independent truckers. There's been another earthquake in Southern California, the second in less than 24 hours. The latest quake registered 4.8 on the Richter scale and was centered just south of the resort community of Big Bear in the San Bernardino Mountains. Yesterday's earthquake was also in that area and registered 4.4 on the Richter scale. Big Bear is about 90 miles east of Los Angeles. Congressman Charles Diggs of Michigan has admitted that he used $40,000 in payroll kickbacks from his staff for his own purposes. He appeared before the House Ethics Committee, agreed to repay the money, and to accept censure from the House. Diggs is appealing a 3-year federal prison sentence after being convicted of payroll padding and mail fraud. General Alexander Haig retired today as the Supreme Commander of NATO, ending 35 years in the military. There's been some talk that he plans to run for the Republican nomination for president, but he said today he has no political plans right now. CBS News continues after this. The Eisenhower silver dollar never quite caught on, neither did the $2 bill recently reissued. But officials are hoping that Americans will accept the new Susan B. Anthony dollar coin. It's scheduled to be released on Monday. Treasury Department spokesmen say they hope the coin will stay in circulation and not in collections or on living room shelves. The federal government is urging Americans to spend the new coin, which may eventually replace the dollar bill. This is John Bohannon, CBS News.